I am reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, everyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Thank you. That's a beautiful passage. I'd like to introduce our missionary speakers this morning by saying that they turn out to be my kind of folks. I work in community college, and they have been teaching in technical schools and know all about the kind of skills that students need to be successful today. And so I was really pleased to learn a little bit about that, which is not something I expected. Lamar and Janice have a message, and I'm just going to say that they're going to talk a little bit about Rift Valley Academy, about the work they've done, and about how God has been gracious to them in the last few years. They're going to tell us about what students need, I think, these days, and about what's going on in Kenya. I'm going to leave the rest to them, except to say that we are very, very, very glad you're here. And I was told I must say this quickly, or now, or at least don't forget, lunch. We're having lunch together. So if you would like to have lunch with Lamar and Janice after you've heard them, or if you want to have it right now, even before you've heard them, please tell Mrs. Peffer that you want to be, Lois Peffer, that you'd like to be coming to lunch with us. I think that's it. So here you go.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, to see some familiar faces, and to be able to share with you about what God's been doing in our lives. I'd like to start off this morning by showing a video, and I apologize, we're having some problems with the sound for the video, so I'll try to narrate as the video plays. So I have my Vanna White down here helping me out this morning. All right. This video is entitled The Heart of the Mission, and it talks about Africa Inland Mission and their involvement in Africa. It starts out, this gentleman says, this is Africa, and this is his home. And this is a Maasai gentleman with his children, and it's a typical house that he would live in. And he says, Africa is not a hopeless remnant of the third world. Africa is, I'm a little bit ahead of him, unexpected. So he reaches somewhere in his shuka and he pulls out a cell phone. So these are sites that we often see in Kenya. So along the northern border and the east coast of Kenya, there is a dominant Muslim culture there. The rest of Kenya is considered to be a Christian nation. It talks about how Africa is people and over a billion souls and all the different cultures, all the different languages. speaking about the different types of people, how colorful they are, how vibrant the cultures are. It also talks about the church in Africa. Going to a church service in Africa, it's a very, very vibrant, very alive experience to have. As you see, there's dancing, there's singing. It's just a wonderful experience to be able to worship in the African context. And it speaks about how the church is growing in Africa, but it's also facing many challenges. It talks about how there are unreached people groups in Africa that have no way to hear the word of God. Talks about how different religions, as Islam, are impacting Africa as well. This is a fellow missionary that we serve with. He does a lot of work with Bible translation, so people will translate the Word of God. He'll go in and check for accuracy in that. But AIM is 1,000 missionaries in 20 countries with hundreds of churches, with one purpose, and that is Christ-centered churches among all African peoples. So Africa Inland Mission works to train African pastors to continue on with the work. Missionaries are serving in many different capacities. Okay, and again, the goal of Africa Inland Mission is Christ-centered churches among all African peoples. So, the professional narrating is a lot better than what I've just done. Well, I'd like to give you a bit of an update about our family, and then I'll get into a PowerPoint presentation here. Our daughter, Alyssa, is 24 years old. She is living in York County in the Dillsburg area, and she teaches preschool at a church-centered preschool in the Harrisburg area. She deals with three-year-old children all day long. She has, 15? 15 three-year-olds that she deals with on a daily basis, and she is in her element. She absolutely loves it. And she blessed us 11 months ago with a granddaughter. So I'm a grandpa. They call me Pappy, and she's Grammy, and we have a beautiful little girl, red hair and blue eyes, and she has me wrapped around her little finger. So we are so happy that we were able to be home and to be with her. Our son Donovan is a junior now at Kutztown University. He is studying environmental science and biology. And he's doing well. He just got his driver's license on Friday, so we're happy about that. In Kenya, you can't get a driver's license until you're 18, so we didn't bother with anything. He came home, he was involved with college and didn't bother getting his license, but now he's got it. So at 20 years of age, he's a new driver. So we're happy about that. Donovan's doing well, and we're looking forward to him continuing his college education. For me, I have been blessed to be working at Sight and Sound Theaters for the last year. I work in a department there that we tear apart sets and we ship them to Branson so they can put the play on stage there, or we receive set pieces from Branson, reassemble them, and that way we're able to put them on stage at Strasbourg. It's been a real blessing to be there and to work in that environment. Janice, over the last 18 months, had been battling breast cancer. And she's going to tell you more about that after my piece here. Our presentation is called Reaching the Unreached. And it's all involved with Christ-centered churches among all African peoples, as the video had mentioned. So, go ahead. Rift Valley Academy is a boarding school for missionary children. We have about 500 students that are at the school. It was established in 1906, and we are located in Kijabi, which is about an hour and a half northwest of the capital of Nairobi. We live at 7,500 feet on the side of a mountain surrounded by forest, overlooking the Great Rift Valley. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. If you have the opportunity, you should come and visit and see where we are. And there's some other EC missionaries that serve there as well. So you could get a bunch of us together at once. As I said, it's a beautiful place to serve. We have about 500 students on staff there, and we have about 100 missionary staff there. It's a really neat place. The last 3 years that we were there, Janice served as the guidance director. And you can see some of the duties that she had there. With maintaining students' schedules and their grades and things like that, supervising the standardized testing. So all those tests that children love to take, the PSSAs and, well, not the PSSA, but, yeah, the SATs. There you go. All right, all the standardized tests. So she had the opportunity to coordinate that and administer those tests. She worked along with Missy Wagner in reviewing materials for students wanting to come to RVA to see that they met the admission requirements, communicated with teachers, dorm parents, parents, administrators, and government agencies and educational organizations, and she got to work one-on-one with the students, which is something that she really enjoyed doing. Okay, I was serving as the director of services at Rift Valley Academy. And that is kind of an umbrella that works with a number of different departments at the school. You can see listed there the different departments that I supervised: vehicle maintenance, the grounds maintenance, custodial services, facilities maintenance, the maintenance store, which was like our hardware store on campus, security for the school, the laundry facilities, cafeteria, the arcade, that's our school store for students to buy their supplies and health and beauty aids. Physical therapy, human resources, student health, all those different departments I was overseeing. I did have supervisors in each department that that worked with me and made my life a whole lot easier. So how does our work at Rift Valley Academy fit into AIM's ideals of Christ-centered churches among all African peoples? As you can see in the video, there are people that are working in the bush, and sometimes it's not a very good environment for children to be in, or it could be a dangerous environment depending on where the parents are. In the areas that are predominantly Muslim, it can be dangerous to proclaim Jesus Christ. And for that reason, the school was established back in 1906. And the children of missionaries that work in those difficult areas can come to Rift Valley Academy. It's a safe environment where they can live and learn and grow. And by caring for the children, it allows the parents to do what they need to do in the difficult places that they go. We have the opportunity to work with about 500 students on campus. We help to teach them. Do activities with them. We're involved in their day-to-day lives. And Janice and I served as dorm parents for a time at Rift Valley Academy. And we were in a junior high girls dorm for a while. For 3 years, we had 16 junior high girls that lived with us. And it was quite an adventure. We loved every minute of it. But you get to see the children at their best. You get to see them at their worst. And you get to be there to walk through that with them. And the daily devotions that we had with them, it was just an incredible experience, and we really loved that. So by having the Rift Valley Academy Again, it allows the parents to go out and do the things that they need to do in the difficult areas. Our students are involved in outreach in the community. Oops, wrong slide. Or is that the right side? No, that's... I'm sorry. What's that? Yeah. Being involved in the students, Janice and I taught Sunday school. We mentored students individually. We would meet with them sometimes at lunchtime. And to be able to share, Janice often met with young ladies on Sunday afternoons in that way. But again, it was the one-on-one experience with the children that we had a chance to speak into their lives. Sponsoring activities in our home. This is a group of our former dorm girls that came back, and we just sat around one day and had snacks and talked about when they lived with us and had a great time. At this point in time, they were in high school. But in getting involved in the lives of the students is an awesome thing. Donovan had a classmate who came to RBA in fifth grade, and this young man came from a Kenyan family, although they were Indian descent, and their family's religion was Sikh. But the family sent this young man to Rift Valley Academy because they knew he would get a good education there. They also knew that he would hear the word of God proclaimed. And so this young man came in fifth grade and sat through Bible classes, sat through chapels, sat through Bible instruction, and would often come over to our home and to hang out with Donovan in that way. They were good friends. They played sports together. And as this young man grew, there was times that we would ask him about the Sikh religion, and he really couldn't tell us much about what the religion was all about, what the practices of the religion were. He just knew that his family was Sikh, so he was Sikh as well. This young man went all the way through RBA. He graduated in Donovan's class, and he still had not received Jesus Christ as a Savior. But he went to the UK for university. And at the university, guess what? His roommates were Christians. And once again, he was hearing affirmation of who Jesus Christ is and that he's real. And that young man ended up giving his life to Christ while at university in the UK. So we were so pleased. And maybe we had a hand in sowing some seeds there in that young man's life. We hope so. But that's what we'd like to do at Rift Valley Academy, being involved in the young men's lives. We also have the opportunity to reach out into the national staff that are at RVA. My job, I mostly work with the employees, the national staff employees, and it's a great honor and privilege to be able to work with them. We have about 100 national staff that come to work at RBA every day, and my door is always open in my office, and they can come and visit with me. And let me tell you, it's such a privilege to have someone walk into your office and share about what's going on in their lives and to be able to sit together and pray. And there are times they come in and they say, Lamar, what's going on with you today? How can I pray for you? What an honor it is. And many of our national staff, they see their work at Rift Valley Academy as being missionaries as well, because they know without them, RVA couldn't exist. So they see themselves as missionaries participating in what AIM is doing in Africa. And it's really, really a blessing. We have workers that work in our homes as well as outside of our homes. And the previous slide showed a gathering of ladies that met for a Bible study in our home. We were able to host that for them. And we also reach out into our community. IDPs, or internally displaced people, in post-election violence in 2007, 2008, over 1,000 people were killed, and thousands of people lost their homes and were forced out of their homes with nothing but what was on their backs. And the government set up temporary camps for them down in the valley where they could be housed. The UN gave them tents to live in. And these communities are still there. Habitat for Humanity came in and helped to build some houses there. There are other people that helped to develop housing for people in the valley. But some people are still living in tents even now. So we've had the opportunity to go down to the camps and to be able to preach. We have a gentleman at RVA who's one of our Kenyan staff. His name is John. And in 2007, John said, can we go down to the valley and see what the people need? It was right when the camps were established. So he and another missionary went down, and they asked the people, what do you need? And they said, we want you to preach to us. And John said, oh, I'm not a pastor. He said, I'm a clerk at the school store at Rift Valley Academy. And they said, we don't care. We want you to tell us about God. And John took that to heart. He began going down every week and gathering people underneath an acacia tree and preaching to them. And Janice and I have had the opportunity on multiple times to go down and preach underneath that tree. And in the years that follow, they did have the opportunity to build a church. And we've had the opportunity to go down again and share in that church there. But what a blessing to have employees that will take that burden on to share the word of God with those that ask for it. So we've had that opportunity. We do outreach projects at the school. The children will go out and they may prepare food at the hospital to feed to patients, plant trees, paint schools, participate in sports activities with surrounding elementary schools, a lot of different things like that. We have benevolence projects. A lot of times we have people in the community that maybe they get sick and have to go to the hospital and they're not able to pay their hospital bills. So all of our Sunday offerings go into a benevolence fund, and that money is used to help people in our community that need assistance. And we also support local ministry efforts. As I mentioned, John, he is going down to the valley and preaching every Sunday, but Rift Valley Academy has given him leave from his job, being the clerk at the school store, and we give him time off during the week so he can attend classes at the local Bible college. John just graduated from that Bible college, and now he's a certified pastor. And we love the fact that our staff are reaching out into their own community, and we want to support them in whatever way we can. We also have one or two other employees that are attending Bible college as well, and we're happy to give them leave to attend their classes. So that's a little bit about what Janice and I are doing at Rift Valley Academy. I want to have Janice come up and share with you about the last 18 months in her life and the battle that she's gone through.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know that I've heard anybody else say it yet, but happy Father's Day to all the fathers and spiritual fathers out there in the audience today. I know you mean a lot to us, so thank you so much. I know Lamar was talking about being a grandfather now. It has been quite the change to shift from just parenting our two children to now having that role of grandparent. It's a good one. I've heard that it's pretty sweet, and I know I enjoy being a Grammy. So, as Lamar stated earlier, some of you might be aware, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's been quite the journey. In the past, as a teacher and guidance director, I would have normally been able to come up here and just speak and not have any issues with that. Nowadays, I bring notes, because I went through some pretty strong chemo, and one of the side effects is that sometimes the words don't come out the way I want them to, or they just don't come out at all. My brain kind of shuts down at times, so I rely on notes. So please forgive me as I read. It's getting better, but it's still hard to sometimes just ad lib, so. Here we go. As for me, I know Lamar gave an update on the rest of the family, but as for me, I stand before you as a new creation. I am officially finished with my cancer treatments, so I can claim that I am no longer a cancer patient. I am now a cancer survivor. Thank you. To God be the glory. You know, it's not anything that I did. God is the healer. He is the healer. What a journey it has been, my friends. I would have never chosen that path. But I am so thankful that with him, nothing is accidental. Nothing is incidental. And no experience is ever wasted. When I was first diagnosed with breast cancer in December of 2016, I declared that this was the Christmas gift that God had chosen for me, one that I had not asked for, yet God had selected it specifically for me, so I needed to fully unwrap it and discover exactly how he wanted me to use it. Over and over again, I read James 1:17, and it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." So many times I tried to figure out how cancer could be viewed as a good and perfect gift. What I have realized over time is that cancer wasn't the gift at all. The experiences I've had throughout the entire journey, they were the gifts. Through those experiences, I've been reminded that he is always at work, providing opportunities for me to grow into who he intends me to be, revealing himself to me in those difficult times so that I know I am not walking through anything alone. My family teases me. They say I have the spiritual gift of tears. I claim it. I never travel anywhere without a tissue when I'm supposed to speak. It's hard to read through tears. But anyway, he does provide strength and courage when faced with hurdles. He provides me with opportunities to be still and know that he is God in a very practical way. That's one thing, as you can probably imagine, living at a school with 500 students and only 100 staff members. You know, those are pretty good odds, one to five ratio, but still, you've got to keep them busy. The students, we have three trimesters, so the students arrive on campus and they stay with us for 12 weeks, okay? So their parents are serving, say, in Uganda or Tanzania or wherever. They come to Kenya and they're with us for 12 weeks. So that means Monday through Friday, yes, they're in classes, so the teachers are in charge. They live in dormitories, so the dorm parents are in charge, but, you know, there's Friday nights, Saturday nights, Sunday nights that they need to have some sort of activities to do, too. So it's a very busy place. So there's not a lot of quiet time when you're living with 500 kids. And even though, as a Christian, I recognize my need to have my daily devotional time and all of that, I realized that during my cancer journey, taking time to be still was definitely something that I didn't do in a very effective way when I was in Kenya. Walking through my cancer journey, God provided me with hours and hours to just sit and be still and listen, because I couldn't do anything else. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to to be still and listen for what he has to say. So many times we're very good at sitting down for our devotional time and we read through the scripture we're supposed to read and then we pray and we tell God what's on our hearts. But how often do we actually sit there and take time to be quiet and listen for him to speak to us? It's definitely something that I think I know I've learned I need to spend a little bit more time focusing on that area of my devotional life. And I would encourage you to do it as well. He provides opportunities for me to choose joy, even in the midst of some yucky stuff. He's revealed himself, showing his love and power, both to me and to others looking on. I know in this technology, this age of technology and social media, I've become one of those Facebook people. I have a Facebook account, and my students over at RVA are my friends. My fellow missionaries are my friends. My Kenyan friends are friends on Facebook. So when I had to share what was going on in my life, when I chose to share through Facebook, I knew that I would be serving as an example to others as I walked through this journey. And it helped me to decide what all I was going to say on my Facebook posts. I could have been really negative, but I knew that there were students watching how I handled a tough time. And I tell you what, it made such a difference in my life, knowing that that I could share the yucky stuff, but how God was supporting me through that and carrying me through that. And it was just so neat to be able to receive comments back from folks telling me that they were praying for me. And there's nothing more humbling than knowing that people all around the globe are praying for you. As missionaries, I know folks pray for us as we're serving. But it blessed my heart to know that those folks over in Kenya were praying for me in the midst of my struggle here in America. You know, people think to pray for the missionaries when they're over there. But it was just refreshing to know that the people we go to work with, those students and our Kenyan friends, they were some of our biggest prayer warriors as I walked through this journey. How precious was that? So I'm so excited to be able to walk back through to Kenya and meet up with those people and hopefully be able to thank them personally for their prayers. So as I said, you know, God's revealed himself, showing his love and power both to me and to others looking on. I praise him for his sovereignty over the broad events of my life as well as in the details. I'm so thankful that I can take steps towards the future non-defensively with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, for God to hold my future, knowing and truly believing that he will always be with me through all eternity. I received a card that had a little poem in it, just a short reading in it, and it's called Living Today. I'm going to ask that you listen carefully, and if you need to close your eyes to really focus on the words, I'd really appreciate that. I just like to share this with you. Don't worry, at the end I'll tell you when you can open your eyes again. I just know it helps me to close my eyes sometimes when I'm hearing something. It's called Living Today by Bonnie Moore. Today is a gift. Embrace it with joy and anticipation. Realize the possibilities. It beckons you towards your destination in life. Be at peace. You are exactly where you are meant to be at this moment. God has carefully chosen the people, events, joys, and challenges on your path today. The things you will encounter are stepping stones of what is to come. Make the most of today. Focus on the present. You will see and appreciate things you might otherwise miss. Follow your heart. Search to find your purpose in life, and you will find meaning and happiness. Use your talents. Do your best. Contribute. Make a difference because you can. Be passionate about your journey. Sing, dance, laugh, and love as you go. Give praise and allow time for prayer. The promise of tomorrow begins with the endeavors of today. Do not let the fast-forward pace of the world deprive you from savoring the now. Seek things that fill you with love and bring you joy. Have faith. It fosters hope. It makes the difference. Believe. With God, all things are possible. Live well. Live today, for it is a gift. Thank you. There are so many comments or so many statements in there that are just so meaningful to me. I just, I feel like I'm going to refer back to this a number of times in my life. So I would ask that you would just soak that in and use that hopefully to encourage you for the future. My friends Lamar and I are doing our best to live well each day. It doesn't matter where we are, who we're with, or what might be happening at the time. We recognize that each day is a gift more than ever before. With that in mind, we've established four goals. And they're based on four different sections of Scripture. I'm going to share those with you. The first one's from 1 Peter 3:15. We plan to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. In Psalm 106:1, we plan to continue giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Third one is from Romans 12:1. We plan to continue offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, as this is our true and proper worship. And the fourth one is from Psalm 115:1. We plan to remember that all of this is not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and your faithfulness. Lamar and I are especially looking forward to seeing how God is going to continue writing the story of our lives. It looks like our next chapter does involve returning to Rift Valley Academy in August. We know that this transition will bring joys and sorrows. Joys in reconnecting with our dear Kenyan friends, fellow missionaries, and the students as we get back to work. And I have to tell you, I am excited to get back to work. However, it will once again mean saying see you later to our aging parents, our adult children, and now to our precious little granddaughter. No matter what, we know that God is faithful. One positive side note regarding my health history. The only way my oncologist would release me to return to Kenya was with the stipulation that I return to Lancaster's Ann Barshinger Cancer Institute once per year for an evaluation. Under normal circumstances, we would be preparing to leave for at least 2 years before returning for a four-month home assignment. Now we will have to fly back for a couple of weeks each year. Tragic, isn't it? We may have had to experience a delayed return to Kenya due to my cancer treatments, but isn't it fantastic that delay doesn't necessarily mean denial? I'm going to say that one more time. Delay doesn't necessarily mean denial. There are many times we pray and we ask the Lord, please, this is what I want. Don't you see? This is what would be the best thing. He doesn't say no, but he says wait. And sometimes the no does come. But I'm so thankful that this was just a wait. I have to admit, maybe this is a surprise to you, Lamar, but I know that I am not always a patient person, and I like to know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it, and I like to be scheduled, and sometimes people might think that I'm a control freak. Yep, I think I am. But my Heavenly Father knows that too. And he keeps giving me opportunities to work on these things in my life. I'm not a finished work yet. They've done a lot of work on me. We've had a lot of work happening in my life over the past few years. But I'm still working on that patience thing. So to me, the idea that he just said, wait, Janice, and I couldn't do anything about it, was a big lesson for this human being. But I'm so glad he loves me so much and has given me the opportunity to return. Waiting for God's timing sometimes gives us a greater miracle than we could have ever hoped for. I think about our little granddaughter that was born on June 30th last year. If I wouldn't have had breast cancer, we would have been on a plane 5 weeks after she was born. We would have been saying, bye, love you, see you in 2+ years. If it took me walking through breast cancer to get to spend the whole first year with that little baby and my daughter, so worth it. The bonus, the doctor saying that I have to come back once a year, thank you. Thank you. I'll take that. It's all right. It's all right. You know, sometimes we have to remember that there are miracles just waiting for us, but we have to walk through some tough stuff to get to that in the end. So, we are thankful for the opportunity to begin this next phase of life, returning to our ministry location in Kenya,
filled with promise and possibilities. May we share the love of the Lord and bless others with our stories of His faithfulness. Thank you.